Welcome back to the Sully Scoop, where three lifelong Husker bros dive in depth on all surrounding the new era of Husker football, where our cups never run dry of the roulade under head coach Matt Rhule, made by fans for fans, with J-Cell, B-Cell, and T-Cell.
We are back on your favorite Cornhusker podcast. That's the Sully Scoop. You're here with J-Cell, B-Cell, and T-Cell, and we are getting fired up for the 2024 spring game.
Yeah, it's about time we get to turn the page and just kick 2023 out the window. Look forward to 2024. There's a lot to look forward to, specifically when we're talking about the quarterback. And I'm not going to say battle. It ain't a battle in my book. We got our guy. It's about time we got a good quarterback. We've been needing one for a while, and I'm ready to see what Dylan Raiola is going to do out there.
Yeah, T-Cell, there is a little bit of a competition there. You've got two elite quarterbacks coming in with Dylan and Danny Dimes Kalen coming in as well. Those two, there's a reason they were both at the Elite 11 camp there. Both guys can throw the ball. Both guys have great accuracy, strong arms. I am excited to see how they both play this spring in the spring game. Excited to see how they push each other to get better and to see kind of the outcome there. And it's no disrespect to Harburg, but let's face it, he's probably going to be a gadget player this year.
Well, Harburg's got some talent. You can't get him wrong. He's got speed. He just can't throw the ball. So, I mean, getting Harburg on the field can be a necessity in a game. The kid can run faster. He's one of the fastest kids on the team. Now, when it comes to Raiola and Kalen, yeah, Raiola's arm talent is light years ahead of Kalen. I mean, Danny Kalen, he can drop dimes. But Raiola, I hope at least coming into the season, you know, leading up a month to the season starts, that Matt Rhule comes out and names Raiola the guy. I don't want any controversy when it comes to week one. I don't want any controversy when it comes to week two. I want this is the guy, and we're riding with him. Now, if he messes up game one, well, we got another Elite 11 quarterback in our pocket in Danny Kalen that is going to be ready to be coming into a game, because they are, every single one of them is working like it's their show this year.
J-Cell, you're 100% wrong there. Listen, if Dylan Raiola struggles out the gate week one, you're talking about benching him already? This guy's the greatest recruit we've seen in who knows how long. He can mess up all season as far as I'm concerned. This guy's playing there. We brought him into play. He's going to play. We're paying
him to be out
there, too.
That's a terrible take. Terrible take.
Yeah, it is a terrible take. You can't talk about benching Raiola.
If he is playing terrible, you don't leave him in. What do we want, another 3-9 team?
So who are you going to put out there, Harper, who's also going to suck?
We left Jeff Sims in there too long. Listen, if he comes out and he pulls a Jeff Sims, we're not trying to lose game one of the season already. We had
J-Cell.
One game one of the season in
did
five
that help us?
Years.
I can't recall. Did Harbert come out and really change the game for us? Did he lead us to the promised land? No, he sucked worse than Jeff Sims.
He won us games there, T-Saw. He won us games.
I don't know about that. I think just getting off the bus won us some of those games.
Now, I do think it's important
Jeff
here,
Sims
T-Cell. Just,
lost us games.
T-Cell, you have to understand as well. Danny Kalen is a lot better of a backup quarterback or a starter, depending on how they view the guys going in. I think it's going to be Raiola out of the gate just based on sheer talent. But Danny's not a slouch, and I would hate to hear that he transfers out after the spring. I think that's a possibility, but I'm hoping we can convince him to stay, because those two guys are elite level quarterbacks. But I want to turn the page.
Oh, no, there's no buts here.
I want to turn the page.
We're not turning the page.
This doesn't come down to talent. This comes down to his name, his likeness, and the money we spent on him. There's a reason he's going to be the starter week one.
He was the number one recruit of the year.
Well, there
it comes
was
down to talent.
There was a reason both guys were invited to the Elite 11, and there was a reason Danny Dimes Kalen, as you quoted him and called him and nicknamed him, got best accuracy at the Elite 11.
I agree.
And B-Cell also nicknamed Harburg. He nicknamed him Harburg the football god before he watched him play a game. Listen here, B-Cell has no credibility.
I'm sorry. Hey, Frosty, we're going to have to stop that.
You got no credibility on your name when it comes to naming quarterbacks. You have a statue in your room of Tanner Lee. Do you or do you not, Beasel?
That is fake news.
He moved that to his family room.
No, nobody has Tanner Lee anything. Not even Jacksonville, who took a flyer in the sixth round on a guy who probably didn't watch any Nebraska football games. What I was trying to turn the page from is, as interesting as this quarterback battle is, I don't view it as a strong battle in the spring. I would like to see Danny Kalen push Dylan to be a better quarterback this year. However, the running back room is a solid competition going into spring camp with Gabe Irvin Jr. and Ramir Johnson probably not playing at all this spring. That opens the door for quite the controversy and position battle there for Emmett Johnson, Dante Dowell, and Quinton Ives. And guys, it's going to be an explosive running back room here.
Listen, Bisa, it doesn't matter who you got in the backfield if you don't have an offensive line. It'll be interesting to see how they step up this year from last year. I mean, it's only going to be growth. They can't go down. I mean, we got better at the penalties from the previous year under Scott Frost to this year. This past year, 2023, Matt Rhule had the guys disciplined, but he really didn't have talented guys in there. And we still saw the dumb mistakes. They were getting pushed off the ball. You can't run downhill when your guys are getting pushed back and you're getting hit in the backfield. That
but,
is why.
But downhill
down
running also comes to size of the running back as well, Jaysal.
And when decision
Gabe
making.
Irvin, and when Gabe Irvin went down with an injury, I like Emmett Johnson. I think he's shifty. I think he's good. Emmett Johnson was not a downhill runner. At that point, that was part of the reason that Harburg had a lot of success.
You can't be a downhill runner when the defense is in your face in the backfield. The only reason Harburg had
opportunities like five, to run the ball. He's like 5'6 and 100 pounds sopping wet.
The only reason Harburg had opportunities to run the ball the way he did is because, first of all, his speed and his athleticism are phenomenal. But secondly, did you ever see the plays? He literally took the – first of all, he was faster than Jeff Sims. Second of all, he would take the snap and just run past the guards, past the tackle, get to the outside around the tight end if he's on that side, and just take off up the field. That was his best play. He wouldn't even run the handoff sequence. He would just take off. Or it was a pass that broke down, and he would look to use his legs, unlike Jeff Sims, who should have looked to use his legs more, would just as would then try to throw a miraculous pass, and he would end up looking like Chubba Purdy out there. But Harburg would just look to run, and it didn't come down to our offensive line helping him. It was him creating something, and that is what really hurt our running backs last year, was the offensive line play.
Now, Jaysal, don't get Bisal started here on his whole quarterback thing and how, you know, Harburg was just mismanaged in the wrong system and under the right coach and under year two with the same offensive coordinator. You know, you could have, should have, would have got this out of, you know what he sounds like? He sounds like a Bears fan complaining that Justin Fields didn't get the time or Mitch Trubisky didn't get the time. Look, guys, they suck. Move on. It's time to move on. But guess what? This next quarterback you're looking at again ain't going to fix your issues, okay? That's Bisel right now. He's one of those guys.
What are you talking about? Nobody can even follow your train of thought here because all you did was you defined exactly what you just said was going to happen. You said Harburg was a terrible quarterback and Dylan Raiola is going to come in and be the savior. And then you just said that Justin Fields is a terrible quarterback. And when they draft Caleb Williams this year, it's not going to solve any of their problems. So what the hell are we supposed to expect from Dylan Raiola in your fucking whacked out mind now? Because I don't even understand how you connected these dots. It's ridiculous. I was talking about running backs. I don't even know how you got back to the quarterback. So let's just, you know, if you don't want to talk about running backs, that's fine, T-Cell. We can move on. The offensive side of the
ball.
The offensive side of the ball here has
Bisel,
so many position battles. No, you're gonna wait a second here.
Bisel's
the offensive
just pissed
side of
off.
The ball
he got slapped
so
in the face
many,
with a salmon.
No.
He's just pissed off about it.
There
the
are
salmon
so many
was
good
cold.
Possession
the
battles.
Salmon was
no.
slimy and it left a mark.
But what you don't understand when you look at this, I talked about the running backs. What about the wide receivers? There is a ton of talent in this wide receiver room now that is going to be battling for playing time. You've got Garcia Castaneda coming off an ACL, so he's not going to play this spring. Then you've got a couple transfers in, Jamal Banks, Isaiah Neyor, both guys, very talented wide receivers. I'd like to see how they fit in. What is the growth that we see from Malachi Coleman and Jalen Lloyd? Both of them were huge. Jalen Lloyd should be a game changer this year and be huge. And where does that leave Alex Bolick? I think he ends up falling out of favor here. I just think talent-wise, Alex Bolick is not going to see the field a lot.
And he shouldn't. I mean, let's be honest. Alec Bullock is nothing spectacular out there on the field. He didn't make plays. If anything, I saw more drops than catches. Somebody has to make plays and get
Didn't
yards.
he
It's
have
kind
like
of,
three touchdowns and tied for the lead in the team with receptions for
this is
touchdowns?
exactly what I'm talking about there, Bisal. Our wide receiver core last year should be embarrassed with the way that they were out there. And they can blame the quarterback all they want. I don't care about that mumbo jumbo, whatever. All I know is Malachi Coleman, he has the talent and potential to be special, but he's still very raw. And you just hope that Dylan Raiola will make, he'll be like Aaron Rodgers out there. He'll just make everybody look good because based on what I saw last year, I am not looking forward to our wide receiver core. And these guys better hit the gym. They better hit the workouts in the offseason because there was not a lot there last year. The running back room, as Biso was mentioning, is a lot more loaded, and hopefully we don't get hit with the injury bug again.
Again, I don't think it matters who you got out at wide receiver. It comes down to you got a great quarterback with a great arm now. Okay, we got that. We got one that can throw with accuracy, and we got one that can throw it a mile. Who cares at this point? It comes down to the offensive line once again. The quarterback has to have time to make a decision, get back in the pocket, find an open receiver. The receivers have to have time to go down the field and get
The
open.
receiver's
And
got to
guess
get
what?
open
We
too there,
have,
Jason.
yes, and I said they got to have time to be able to do that. And unfortunately, with our offensive line play the past few years, we haven't seen the availability in time. It comes down to time. And when you're playing in the Big Ten, those are big bruisers on the D line for every other team. And we're finally starting to see the Huskers get some of them. But we have three returning starters. Three. You got Ben Scott up front, you got Bryce Benhart, and you got Turner Corcoran. Listen, I've been hearing how these guys have been were studs
Now,
since day one.
that is
They
blatant
haven't done anything.
disrespect.
They
That
haven't
is
done
blatant
absolutely anything.
disrespect.
You're going to come out
No,
here and say Ben
you are
Scott is
leaving
so
no,
good?
you are leaving Teddy Prochaska out of your returning starters there, Jason.
Sorry, but he is
He's not
listed
starting on my
behind
team.
on the depth chart. He is listed behind Turner Corcoran there
Teddy
at left
Prochaska can't
tackle.
get off the line. I mean, let's call it what it is. He can't get off the line. At
Are they
least
all?
Corcoran's a big body.
Are they all named Teddy Prochaska? Because I haven't seen anything different. You could have thrown a jersey on any single one of
No.
them with a number, and I would
The
have thought it was the same dude.
best offensive lineman that we have is Ben Scott, and I'll stick by that. Ben Scott gave up, I think he had one pressure given up all season from the center position there.
That's
Was
only because everyone
phenomenal.
else was getting in way quicker. I mean, if we had solid offensive linemen across the
Exactly.
board, Ben Scott is the one leading the nation and
Now,
giving up
exactly.
sacks.
And
You
he's the
guys bring
only,
up a
and guess
good
what our
point here.
center did every single time? He doubled with a guard. That is the only reason he had no pressures. He was doubling a man.
Now, I agree with you. There is a lot of growth that needs to happen on the offensive line
A
this year.
lot.
And
Everything.
when you look at it, there is a ton of talent here that will be playing for playing time this spring. You've got Jacob Hood, the transfer in. He redshirted last year. I think he's like a 6'8 tackle that they're projecting to play left tackle. And I believe he came from Georgia. You have Tyler Nack. You've got Buckley. Then you've also got Henry Luckavitz and Justin Evans, both played in every game last year and were decent when they were placed in. But it's hard to be a backup coming in to replace a guy who goes down with injury, a la Turner Corcoran, who can't stay on the field, a la Teddy Prochaska, who can't stay on the field. But I'm also interested in some of these true freshmen coming in that are huge. And also, Gunnar Gotla, as a redshirt freshman as well, will probably get an opportunity to start here this year.
I think every one of them is going to get an opportunity. This is the same offensive line we've been talking about. I think every single one of them should get an opportunity as soon as one falls down and fails, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when.
And I'm with Jason. I'm ready to see the growth. And it pains me to say it. I think our best guy might be Bryce Benhart. And it pains me to say it. And he's going to get a shot in the NFL. What didn't his brother go to the NFL? So he'll get a shot in the NFL. And
what are hopefully, you talking about?
Hopefully we see it on the field.
I'm sorry, T-Sol. I'm going to stop you right there. First off, the two completely different things. You are thinking of Farniak, who was terrible, not Benhart. Both of them are terrible, but Farniak is the one who got into the NFL, and then his brother decided to transfer out because Scott Frost got fired. Second off, Ben Scott is the best offensive lineman, and to sit here and say that Bryce, I'm going to false start Benhart, is the best offensive lineman is a complete joke. The guy doesn't even know how to get down in a three-point stance.
Hold on a second here, Bissell. Weren't you just lifting up all these guys' egos? And then as soon as I say this guy's better than Ben Scott, you tear him down just as quick as you put him up on the wall.
I never said anything positive about Ben.
What
Hart.
Is the parade for these guys? Because they were the best. He was the best offensive lineman on a 3-9 team when football is won and lost in the trenches. Congratulations.
They were a 5-win squad start? There, Jason. Give them credit where credit's due.
It was a 5-win team
for
Ben
Scott
start?
There. When does the parade start? Woo, 5 wins. Woo, so much different than 3 wins. Guess what they weren't doing come winter break? Playing football. You know where they were? They were sitting on their couch doing nothing.
Well, here's my thing for Bissell to prove that Ben Hart is better than Ben Scott. Ben Hart's going to be in the NFL. Probably. He'll probably be a undrafted free agent. Ben Scott, he's not even going to get a phone call.
That's where you're wrong. You can't go wrong with getting a center who doesn't snap the ball over your head.
Bragging about a guy getting undrafted is just an outrageous take. Again, that tells you more about this offensive line than you need to know.
That tells you more about our roster recently. Our roster has struggled to get anybody drafted. So, yeah, somebody signing to a preseason roster as an undrafted rookie free agent, yeah, that's a big win for this team recently.
Exactly, but we're talking about the offensive line right now, and you have teams like Northwestern out there getting offensive linemen drafted. You have teams out there like Minnesota getting offensive line draft. You have teams out there like Iowa, who can't even score an offensive touchdown, getting offensive linemen drafted. And we're out here, we're in the Big Ten, in the Big Bruiser Conference, and we can't get offensive linemen drafted. We can't even get the ball downhill with our own running backs and a running conference.
Well, Jay, so what offensive lineman do you think has the best chance to be in the NFL?
None of them. None of them. Have you watched them play?
Well, you're going to be wrong. They're going to get a shot. They're playing for Nebraska. They're going to get a shot.
And just based on size, I'm pretty sure like Teddy Prochaska is like 6'8". Ben Hart's 6'6". Turner Corcoran 6'9". I mean, those guys just based on size are going to get a shot.
And don't forget, Turner Corcoran was the top recruit coming out of Kansas, a
so
four-star
we've
guy.
We've heard you say for the last 2 years, he sucks.
I haven't seen it once. And listen, anybody that is drafting one of these guys, first of all, should lose their job, or give me a call and I can give you all the input you need to know. Gets beat off the ball, gets beat around the edge. He's slow off the ball. He's just a big body. He doesn't know how to block. He can't move downhill. Listen, we don't have run blockers. We don't have pass blockers. We just got big bodies.
Now, well, Jay, so nobody's going to listen to your draft stock advice, because after the UTEP game, if some guy comes off the game and has 3 sacks, you're going to be telling every team in the country to draft him first overall.
Now, gentlemen.
Outrageous, Dave.
I've got to ask you here before we dive too in-depth on this terrible O-line, who do you think is going to be the starting linebackers for the Huskers this year? You're losing Reimer, who's been a staple. You're losing Henrich, who's been a staple.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Good riddance to Henrich.
You are at a point that you are replacing your entire linebacker crew.
Hold up. Can you repeat his name there, T-So? I don't think you've said it the same one time in your life.
J-So, you're the one who calls him Heinrich. Right?
That's his name. It's not Henrich.
It's Henrich. Nick Henrich.
It's Heinrich.
How do you get
called me out? You can't say it right.
How do you get Heinrich out of Henrich?
And what did T-Saw say? What did T-Saw say? Repeat yourself there.
I believe he called him Nick Heimlich.
It did not. You just get to
play the tape. Play the tape.
Listen here, B-Saw. So far, the guys you mentioned, I'm not losing any sleep over. I was expecting big things out of Reimer last year, and I was very disappointed. I mean, I saw this guy missing tackles all over the field. I mean, Hendrich, was the guy even on the field when he was out there?
I think he's just one of those guys that was a body. He didn't want to play the field. Yes, B-Saw, we know you have a thing for him, and you know you were obsessed with him, think he's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Maybe he was scared of taking hits.
And one guy I am looking forward to make a big step this year and get more playing time, John Bullock. The guy is a bruiser. He knows how to play the defense, and he's going to be in
totally
there
agree.
Plugging the hole.
Totally agree. I'm ready for him to play more. I'm ready for MJ Sherman to play more and Jamari Butler.
Now, I've got another guy for you guys to watch for this year. Mikhail Gaber is going to be one of the starting linebackers this year, and I'm calling that before spring ball. I think he was fantastic during his limited action last year when he replaced guys when they went down with injury. And I expect him to be one of the starters. I expect Bullock will get a starting job. I think he'll slot right in. And then I expect on that edge, it's going to be Princewell. It's going to be MJ Sherman. And it's going to be Chief Borders. I think those three are going to rotate through that edge rushing linebacker.
Yeah, I do got to agree. I think, you know, Princewell made a big jump into his first year. I mean, he was a freshman coming in. That guy was lights out. You got Borders who transferred in last year. He played phenomenal in his opportunities. And I mean, you still got MJ Sherman. I am with you guys. These three guys, MJ Sherman coming from Georgia. How can you not like a guy from Georgia?
And the thing we need to see more this season with our defense is takeaways. They have to force takeaways. You got to be punching at the ball. When you're sacking the quarterback, hit it out of his hand, you know, jump in front of a pass and pick it up. That we didn't see any of that. For the last however many years, we need more takeaways.
Well, we got to move it over, though, to a little bit of the DBs, just getting into it a little bit. There is something I want to say. I think that Hartsog had a lights-out, phenomenal freshman season, but I do want to say I think his sophomore season was a slump.
Totally. Totally a sophomore slump. Yeah. I mean, his freshman year, he was making plays, and last year it seemed like he wasn't even attempting those plays.
Like, is it a different scheme in the defense, which obviously it is, but is that taking away from his ability from what we saw his freshman year? I mean, I don't know what it is.
Maybe they told him not to take the risk, you know? This defense is a system base. Don't take a risk. Don't go for the interception. And, hey, look, an interception's a game changer. That wins you or loses you games right there. You know, because otherwise you'll just sit there and bleed to death. You know, they'll just run the clock out all the way down the field.
I think a lot of it had to do with the change in scheme. I don't think Scott Frost, when their defense was here, I don't think they were as fundamentally sound. So he was able to kind of ad lib and pick quarterbacks off his freshman year, where this year it was much more get to your spot, stay in your spot, which I think he struggled with. I expect him to learn from last year and take a big step forward this year. But I also expect this defense to be so much more sound under Tony White in the year two than they were in year one. And I think it's going to be big steps forward. But I got to ask you guys another quick question. With the new Nebraska Spring League setup, what team did you feel like is the best team out there? Do you feel like it's the Rattlesnake Boys, the Old Gold Knights, or the Bug Eaters?
Well, let's see here.
Let me kick it off here. I'll tell you what. I think it's the Old Gold Knights. Listen, they got Danny Kalen, stellar quarterback, was in the Elite 11. I mean, obviously the kid's got talent if he was at the Elite 11. But then, you know what I want to kick it over to? We got Borkutcher there. You got a great tight end. You got Emmett Johnson, great running back. And then the big piece of the puzzle, is Huttmacher on defense. Anywhere that guy is anywhere I want to be.
Completely with, wrong. It's the Bug Eaters.
With MJ Sherman lining up next to him.
The Bug Eaters are going to kill those guys. One word, Raiola. It's all you need. It's all you got. It's all you get. It's the only guy out there that matters.
See, and I would tell you guys, when you look at it on paper, I think the Bug Eaters have the most talent. I'll give you that, T-Cell. However, I think the Rattlesnake Boys have the most experience on the field. And I think they've got
They're experienced at losing.
But they've got the most returning starters from last year on
and
this team.
All of their wins combined doesn't even get you a full undefeated season.
How many of them have ever been to a bowl game?
Dylan Braiola doesn't know what it's like to lose. The guy only won at the high school level. So it almost is better off for you not to have that experience of losing because then you're not the loser. Those guys are the loser. So he eats losers for breakfast.
Okay. So you're going to let me get a word in. So you got the best quarterback. Congratulations. What else do you have?
I got a lot out there. Did you even look at the
lineup? I got a lot out there.
Okay. They got that Barney guy, wide receiver, and Jalen Lloyd. So you're talking about two speedster wide receivers. They got the young guy, Bell. There you go. They got the young guy running back, Ives. He's supposed to be a stud. You got Mario Buford and Hartzog out there as your corner DBs. So there you go. And Shavers and John Bullock, two linebacker studs with Chief Borders. Yeah, you guys know you messed up. On the D-line, they got Big Ty Robinson. They got Carroll Jackson. You guys are going to be regretting not taking them.
T-Cell nicknamed him One Star Ty, and he's out here going to start bragging about him. Listen, I'll take the hot
He's been gaining a star ever since. He was actually a four-star guy last season.
I'll take the big-time champion wrestler, Huttmacher, over Ty Robinson any day.
Yeah, but they gave him a red shirt. They said he's not allowed to hit people to cause injury. So your best player there, Jay Saul, can't even play.
Listen, they gave him a red jersey because he is the best of the best. Listen, they gave Tom Brady a red jersey because why? At practice, because he was the best of the best. Don't touch him type of deal. That is what Huttmacher is to this defense.
I agree with you. Huttmacher is a huge piece of the defense here. But I'm telling you guys, when you go down this,
Who's going to throw the ball for you?
We got Harvard there.
All right.
So you're not completing the pass?
All right. Let me see who's going to be taking the ball on my team.
So we are sitting here running the option with
Isaac Gifford,
Ramir Johnson,
coming away with it.
Dante Dowell, the transfer from Oregon. Then you turn around on the tight end and receiving side. I've got Thomas Fedoni. I've got Alec Bullock. I'm fine with that. Offensive
he was
line
just saying that
here.
Guy's not going to play.
You got Prochaska, Mr.
Buried. Yeah.
Who just ran right by me. Oh, and then you got your buddy Bryce Benhart starting out there with Levitsky and
Ben Scott, Jacob Hood.
He already said it's not even a quarterback battle either. It's not a quarterback battle for third place.
I've got everybody else here who's a starter. I've got
Buford. After the first quarter, you're going to be running out there with Longvall as your quarterback. Whoever the hell that is.
I've got Mikhail Gaber, our starting linebacker. I've got Shaq Thompson.
He's not a starting linebacker. You just named him a starting linebacker.
He was fourth
on
the depth chart last year.
He's going to start a linebacker for the Rattlesnakes.
As the guy replacing when people got hurt. Then you've got Cam Lenhart on the D-line for me. Dude, this team is – this. The Rattlesnake Boys are coming.
Listen,
he knows he effed up.
Yeah, he does. Listen, the only thing rattling there is them shaking in their boots. They do not want to step on the field with the Golden Knights.
Everyone who drew the Rattlesnake card is pissed off going into this game. And all the players who are like, who's our quarterback? Harburg? Oh, come on.
Hey, don't worry. We got long ball.
You guys don't understand what the Rattlesnake Boys are going to bring on the 27th.
They're going to look a lot like they did last season against Wisconsin.
I hope they bring their bags back. I hope they bring their bags back because they're off the team after this showing.
So as we look ahead, and I know we're all excited for the spring game here, there is one other thing that happens this coming week as well, before the spring game, and that is the start of the NFL draft. And I got to ask you guys, do you feel like any of these Nebraska seniors who graduated, and I don't think anybody left early for it, do you think we've got a guy getting drafted this year?
I think we got one. Quentin Newsom, 7th round pick, and I think that's it.
I think we have two then. I think we have two. Billy Kemp, IV, is going to be a late. Drafted. He's going to be a late round pick. He's got
Marcus
speed.
Washington has a better shot than that guy.
He's Marcus got Washington speed. Is ranked as a better prospect than Billy Kemp. The other part here for you, T-Cell, Quentin Newsom is ranked as the 383rd best player in the draft.
People love DBs.
Omar Brown is ranked 366 above him.
So what, dude? Teams do whatever they want draft day.
I'm telling you. I would expect.
Hey,
Omar
you were
Brown
just hating on me.
If you're going to rub some dirt on that, how are you not going to rub some dirt on his Billy Kemp pick?
I don't need to. We know Billy Kemp's not getting drafted. I don't know what he's living in a fantasy world. I think Omar Brown and Quentin Newsom are the only guys that have a realistic shot. Maybe Marco Ortiz if somebody's desperate for a long snapper.
Nobody drafts long snappers. That would be ridiculous.
If you're in the 7th round and you're like, man, I don't think he's going to sign with us, then you draft him. But that's
then
the only
just
way Marco
pissing away
drafted.
A draft pick.
Yeah, that's
may as
my
well
point.
Draft a punter at that point.
Hey, you never know. But I'm telling you right now, I think the only two that have a shot are Omar Brown and Quentin Newsom. And I really think it's a long shot that we even get one of those guys.
Yeah, it's a pretty poor roster year for guys going to the draft. That's for sure. And I mean, there's a couple guys who stayed, but this right here, guys going who are eligible for the draft, shows you the talent level that we've been working with, and it shows you why our record is what it was.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely looking forward to the spring game, and I'm sure you guys are. But thanks again for joining us for another week of the Sully Scoop. You're here with J-Cell,
B-Cell,
and T-Cell.
And don't forget to follow and like, and you can catch us on Twitter /X at @Sully_Scoop. And you can reach out to us anywhere. You search for Sully Scoop on Google, and we pop up.
Go Big Red.